Hi. In this ASI cast, we're delighted to bring together Brian Jacobs and Bob Hoffman, more widely known as the author of the Ad Contrarian blog, to discuss the recently published report from the ANA, the Association of American Advertisers. The report looked at current media planning and buying practices in the US, with a special emphasis on transparency.
Okay, so hi everybody, this is Brian Jacobs, and today, fortunately, we're joined by Bob Hoffman, otherwise known as the Ad Contrarian, who's joining this podcast from the US. And the subject for our discussion today is the well-reported ANA report. Now, for those of you that don't know much about this, but a little bit of background, the ANA is the Association of National Advertisers, it's the advertiser group, the advertiser group in the USA, for large advertisers, pretty obviously. And some time back now, they decided, following various rumors and speculation in the States about the whole issue of media transparency and rebates and kickbacks and whatever else, that they would mount an investigation into the practices of media planning and buying. And to do that, they called upon two consulting firms, one of them an American company called K2, who I suppose we could describe as investigators. They're staffed, I think, by ex-FBI agents, and they're not from the advertising industry at all. And the second company they decided to use was a British company called Ubiquity, which is their background is in media auditing and media consulting. They also have a financial auditing arm called Firm Decisions, and it was that arm that was involved in this process. The report from the ANA has two parts to it. The first part has been published, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and that's the piece that came from K2. The second part, which is, I believe, going to be a series of recommendations for marketers, is coming from Ubiquity, and that hasn't yet been released. So today we're talking about the K2 piece of that, which is, I suppose, an investigation into what's been going on. And the way in which they conducted this was to conduct a series of interviews with executives, media executives from the agencies, from ad tech companies, from consulting firms, from all sides of the industry, really, from vendors as well. And these interviews were conducted anonymously, which is quite important. And they were basically asking people, I suppose, to explain how the industry works, how the media buying side of the industry works, and to give anecdotes and evidence to support various claims and theories that people had put up before when it came to the whole topic of transparency and rebates. So that's as much as I'm going to say really about the background. So Bob, having kept you waiting all this time, what is your view of the output from the ANA report?
The overall output from the ANA report to me was very disappointing. It resolved almost nothing. It tarnished everyone and accused no one. We really don't know very much more than we knew before it came out, other than it now is codified in official documents. But I think it did the advertising industry in general a lot of harm by tarnishing everyone, and it really didn't identify any of the malefactors by accusing anyone. So I'm not really sure what they thought they were accomplishing, and whatever it is they accomplished, they created a whole lot of fuss. But I'm not really sure what the result is.
I suppose it's difficult, isn't it? If you're interviewing people and you've guaranteed them a degree of anonymity, because after all, a lot of these guys are working in agencies, or they have worked in holding companies in the past, and I suppose they're prepared to speak and talk about this, but they don't really want to be identified. So I don't think there was ever any chance of them naming names, although there was a rumor they were going to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm sure a lot of the people who were interviewed only agreed to be interviewed based on knowing that they would be anonymous. Nonetheless, I think they should have sought out some people who were willing to talk and identified some specifics, because right now it's just a bunch of he said, she said, And, it gave the 4A's the opening to do exactly what they did, which was to say, oh yeah, prove it. And so they're sitting there stonewalling. The 4A's are sitting there stonewalling, saying, this is all baloney. Who are you talking about? Be specific. And they will stonewall continually until specifics come out, I think.
Okay. So, I mean, the 4A's is the agency association in the
U.S. in the U.S.
But, I mean, it was rather interesting, wasn't it, that the holding companies, the big six holding companies, I believe, refused their staff permission to take part in this.
Yeah, five of the six refused. And that's, come on, that pretty much tells you all you need to know, right? What else do you need to know? That these guys refused to do it. And the sad part is that this is how empty my life is. I read that damn report twice. Can you imagine? But in the report, the ANA seems to go out of its way a couple of times to say, you know, this is not just the holding companies and this is not just online advertising. But reading between the lines, you can see that the bulk of what they're talking about is the holding companies and the bulk of what they're talking about is online advertising.
Mm. And it's not just the holding companies, of course, it's also people like the ad tech companies, isn't it? And people
Yes.
But what was interesting to me is that this, I mean, I think they did shine a bit of a light on this, because this whole thing started, didn't it, with John Mandel about a year ago. John Mandel was the ex-CEO of Mediacom. Right. Before that, he was the media director of Gray. He's a planner by background. And he stood up, having interviewed himself a number of planners and people in agencies. He stood up a year ago at the ANA and said, and made these accusations, the accusations that K2 were asked to go off and in effect, see whether or not there was anything in them.
And to his credit, he presented documents.
He did, although he redacted large amounts of them, didn't he?
He did
do that. And I suspect that some of the people that were interviewed by him are also the same people who were interviewed by the ANA.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
So I suppose they've now concluded that this business is, as they put it, pervasive around the industry. You're right. They've sort of rather blackened everybody, haven't they? They haven't sort of said, "Oh, this is all down to one or two." They've said it's everywhere.
Right, and that's, to me, that's completely unfair. I know a lot of people in the advertising business who are very, very careful, who are very principled and would never play with their clients' money. And these people are now under suspicion because of this. Every client in America is now saying, these guys who I thought I trusted, who seem to be nice guys, who I've worked with for years, are they screwing me? Are they stealing money behind my back? And now every agency is suspect. It's just not fair.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that is true, isn't it? I mean, they haven't sort of differentiated between any type of agency, let alone any named agencies. I must admit, I mean, my main issue here has always been actually not so much about rebates and things, which are quite easy to spot, even though they might be hidden offshore and various other devious tactics that are employed. It's much more to do with agencies cutting deals with vendors, whoever they may be they media owners or ad tech companies, and doing those deals and then basically saying to their planners, you have to use this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it's right for the client's business or not. And that's a pretty difficult thing to spot.
And that is, that has the potential to do clients lots of harm, because your media winds up where it should not ought be, because it helps the agency rather than the client. And the agency's first responsibility is to do what's best for its clients. If that's not your first responsibility, then you are confused. And the fact that they would take clients' money, put it somewhere that's inappropriate because it made more money for them, is absolutely unconscionable. And I think is really bad. And you know, if the 4As had any guts, they'd stand up and say it. One of the interesting things about the 4As reply to the ANA is they stonewalled, prove it, all that kind of stuff. But they never came out and said in a general sense, these principles are what we abide by. And if it's true that this is happening or that is happening or this other thing is happening, as the ANA accuses, then that's wrong. The 4As didn't give us any clear indication of what is right and what is wrong, based on what, regardless of who is doing it, based on what the ANA reported. The 4As never said, well, if that's happening, then that's wrong. They never did that.
It's also quite interesting that the holding companies, although they all put up a whole lot of bluster, I mean, I'm talking about five out of the six now. In fact, I think even the sixth one, Interpublic, put out bluster as well. But all of them confined their responses to rebates and the issue of rebates. Nobody actually said what I just was talking about. No one said, and furthermore, we always, as a point of principle, buy our plan as opposed to buying something else. And that's a topic. I mean, no holding company has yet come out, or in fact, no one has yet said, well, as a point of principle, that's what we do. And I think, I mean, if you ask people in the UK this question, by the way, and you said, do you think that buys are being made and then plans are being, as it were, abused, I think everyone would go, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a good state of affairs at all. But I think if you talk to people privately, I mean, all the big media owners would say, yeah, of course. And it's disgraceful, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
In America, would you be, I mean, have you come across this sort of thing? I mean, do you think this is likely to be going on, that the buyers are dictating where the money is being spent as opposed to funds?
I think it is in the holding companies, you know, and now I'm just speculating. Mm. But in the U.S., there was always kind of a church and state separation, in which there was always supposed to be transparency. I know in other parts of the world that agencies worked as brokers. They both bought and sold. They bought media from A and sold it to their clients. That is typically not how it operated here in the States. And I think that the one of the many negative things that has come with international agency consolidation is that there is kind of a murky line now about whether reselling media to clients is okay or not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the holding companies have been, I mean, apart from, as I say, apart from the bluster and this is a disgraceful report, we are indeed whiter than white, and you know, we're off now to do our Hail Marys and stuff. Apart from that, they haven't said much, have they?
No. And you know, the funny thing is nobody seems to be pointing a finger where I think the finger really needs to be pointed, and that is at CMOs. Mm. What have these people been doing all these years? They're supposed to have an eye on what's going on. They're supposed to know what's going on, and they seem to be either clueless or intentionally stupid and intentionally not paying attention to this.
I think it's rather interesting. Again, I worked in the States for a long, long time ago, so I'm probably completely out of touch, but certainly over here, I think you would find most CMOs have for many, many years not been interested in the whole media stuff.
It's
media stuff. You know, who cares about that? It's media stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, even though there may have been, or in fact, I know were, agency deals going on and agencies keeping rebates and all the rest of it and all the things that we talked about happening over here, it was pretty low rent, you know, really.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge thing. Along comes digital, and suddenly it becomes a huge thing. Yeah. And all those guys who weren't paying attention and didn't really know much about the media business and never really bothered to learn about it and never really even visited their media agency in many cases, are suddenly finding themselves in the firing line.
Yeah.
You know, it comes about, I think, through a lack of paying attention for many, many, many years, not just in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I also think there has been a kind of thing where the CMOs don't want to know too much. There's so much fraud, there's so much corruption in online advertising that I think they want to be able to maintain deniability. And be able to say, well, I never knew about, how am I supposed to know someone steal? You know, it's almost like if they get too close to it, they get responsible for it. But if they leave it at arm's length, then they can maintain deniability. Mm-hmm. I saw that once. We were pitching here in the States a piece of a very large account. And we were pitching against an incumbent, and we saw what the agency was being paid. And let's say it was $1 million. And we came in and we looked at it, and we were asked to pitch, and we said, we can't pitch this for $1 million. Our fee will be $1.4 million. And they say, well, you're too expensive. I said, well, you know, your $1 million can't be right. They can't be making money on this. So we went in and we studied, and they gave us their contract, went through for a year, and we found out that in actuality that the agency was making $2 million, right?
Yeah.
And we came in and we said, look, here it is. Here's your bills. We've gone through it. Here's your invoices. You're paying them $2 million a year. And we can do this for $1.4 million. She said, no, I can't work with you. You're too expensive. and the answer is, she didn't want $1.4 million showing up as the budget. She wanted $1 million. She didn't care if they were stealing $1 million here and there, little Xeroxes here and little costs there and little things there. As long as she could show her upper management that her fee was $1 million, she didn't care what was going on under the table. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I understand from the Ad Contrarian blog that you are now entering the murky world of media consulting. Is this?
Not at all.
I gather you've been asked to look at some
content. Yeah, I was asked, but I turned it down.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Expensive. Is that the problem?
No, actually, I don't know enough about it to even come close to being able to do a good job at it. So I bowed out.
Okay. So what do you think? I mean, this ANA thing is obviously, there was a massive amount of fuss and rumbling around. We're now going through, I suppose, the sort of post-shock phase of everyone saying, okay, well, that's probably gone away for a bit. Let's not worry too much about it. The press aren't reporting it so much. The ANA clearly aren't going to drop it. There's the ubiquity thing due to come out shortly, which will probably start the whole ball rolling again. What do you think will happen? Anything?
I'm sorry, get you.
What do you think will happen at the end of all of this? Will anything happen?
Yeah, I think this is going to be, a lot of people think it'll just evaporate and go away over time. I don't. I think this is going to be huge. I don't think it's going to be a huge thing between the ANA and the four A's. I think that will kind of dissolve. But what will happen is between clients and agencies, there will be very much more oversight. There will be way more auditing. There will be way tighter contracts written up. I think you're going to see way more lawyers in new business pitches. So I think this is going to have a major impact. I think it has, you know, the ANA and the 4As need each other. Where are the ANA? You know, in a sense, the 4As has the, like I wrote on my blog, the 4A's has the ANA by the you-know-whats, because where are they going to go? I mean, now that consolidation has changed the advertising agency business so much, where are these big publicly traded companies going to go? They're going to go to big publicly traded agencies, because that's what they do. That's who they think they need to be with. So they don't really have that much choice. Mm-hmm. And from the standpoint of which ones are corrupt and which ones are not corrupt and who can I trust and who can't I trust, I think what we're going to find at the end of the day is that they are all pretty much playing the same games. So the two groups need each other. But where it will change is from client to agency. It's going to be a lot tighter, I think.
Yeah. Well, one last thing, Bob. I mean, we obviously, ASI conference obviously appeals to and attracts large numbers of broadcasters and vendors, radio vendors as well. Right. Well, I mean, are the vendors saying much in the States? I mean, are the media owners saying much? Are they just saying, oh, this is quite cool, we have to give less money to the agencies now? Is that?
Yeah. I think from what I have seen, they're kind of staying out of it because they don't want to get embroiled in this. They know that they got lots to hide also, right? But they would rather the online industry take the hit for this than, you know, broadcasters take the hit for it. And to a large degree, I believe the online industry is more guilty of it than the broadcast and print industries. But they're kind of, you know, I haven't seen very much from them at all. No. They don't want to get involved in this.
Well, they could be beneficiaries anyway, so I wouldn't, if I was them, I'd keep my head firmly down, I think. All right, Bob, it's been great talking to you. It's been great.
What's been the reaction over there to all this? I mean, it can't be as big news over there as Brexit is over here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think these two things are connected. I think that basically the ANA, I'm just trying to work out exactly how, but I think the ANA have had some impact, or maybe the holding companies have had some impact on us coming out of the European Union. I'm not quite sure how to connect those things yet, but no, I mean, it has been very well reported here, and there is definitely a lot of discussion around it. I mean, we're in we've got some strong independent agencies here who've made a merit out of being highly transparent. In fact, that's their whole existence. And the feeling is that they will probably do quite well out of this.
I hope so.
The holding companies, of course, have said absolutely nothing over here. I mean, no one has raised their heads at all. I mean, no one has even commented on it. But it is being written about in the press. The general sense is that, you know, a market correction was long overdue, and this could be the market correction. I think that's probably pretty well summing it up. I mean, exactly what does happen, obviously, we don't know. I mean, we've got our own version of the ANA called ISBAR, and ISBAR has been following this very closely, and they have actually put out statements saying that they feel that agencies some time ago now stopped acting in their clients' best interests. And that, of course, caused an absolute storm from agencies saying, you know, how dare you say such a thing, you know. And I mean, when you were talking about Brexit, I mean, you know, I think Martin Sorrell's come out and said that WPP are going to be something like 220 million or something worse off. It's made me think that's quite a lot of discount to claw back, isn't it, Rick?
and do you feel that this will, what's happened here in the States, is that going to affect client agency relationships in the UK?
Yes, I think definitely. I think what's happened over here is you've got clients here who have that sort of suspicion that they're somehow or other they're being screwed. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure how, not quite sure what's going on, but you know what? Something's happening. Something odd is going on somewhere. This is acting as a bit of a sort of lightning rod for that. You know, I think people have now said, oh, okay, so, you know, maybe we should pay a lot of attention to what's happening in the States. I mean, there have been some people here who've said, well, that's in the States. But by far the majority have said this will definitely impact on relationships between clients and agencies here. I mean, after all, the same holding companies.
Right. And do you feel that there's any chance at all that the pendulum will swing back against the large holding companies, and this will help independent agencies?
I think that the independent agencies here have done recently have been doing quite well, both creative and media, I mean, have been doing quite well. But, you know, the problem, of course, is that so many of these accounts, these really large accounts, are global accounts, and they are from American companies, and they do tend to get to land, you know, from the USA, as it were.
Yeah.
And so somebody in the States makes a decision, and then someone over here has to, you know, is just told, you're moving agency. But of the really big, you know, of the really, really big accounts, I think much the same as what you said. I think what will happen is there'll be a much greater focus and concentration on contracts. I think that people will look at this much, much more closely from now on. And I think that the digital side of things, I think, will suffer a bit of a reaction. Partly because of this, but also partly because, actually, I don't know whether this is the same for you, but partly because there is now an increasing amount of evidence that maybe it's not working quite as well as it was supposed to work.
The miracle phase is over, huh?
And those people have got research, and they've got findings, and they've got data, and they've got a lot of evidence now. And it takes a bit of time to get all that stuff, doesn't it? And, you know, what's this doing to my brand is a question you can't answer in a day or two. It takes a while. But there does seem, just from anecdotal evidence, that more and more people are saying, well, you know what? Maybe lots of people are going to these things, but maybe advertising isn't the right. Advertising on them isn't quite the right thing for me. But we'll see. I mean, I think I definitely think it has certainly had a lot of attention over here, the ANA report. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, I believe in other countries as well, across mm-hmm. Europe. It's definitely heard of. People know about it. People are speculating. So we'll see. Okay, Bob, that's very kind of you to give up so much of your time. And, you know, we very much hope seeing you soon.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. That'd be great.
Take care.
Okay, thank you, guys.
See you later. Yeah, cheers, Bob.
Bye-bye.